Thank you. Is everyone still alive and awake? Can't hear you again. Is everyone still alive and awake for our fiesta? All right. Now it's time for our first plenary session. This session will cover significant milestones of the Humanitarian OpenStreetMap team in its 15th year anniversary. Everyone, let's welcome Jeffrey Cataraga.
Good morning, State of the Map. It's really amazing. It's really a pleasure to be here, to be in Manila, to be in the Philippines. I think it was 2018 in Milan at State of the Map, and Annalie gave a talk. It was titled Mapping the Beautiful Philippines. And I didn't know how many islands there are in the Philippines until I listened to Annalie speak. And ever since I've been dreaming of visiting this place, so it's really a pleasure to be here. But also really nice that just last year, we were in Kenya, in Nairobi. The global set of the map happened in Africa for the very first time. And it's really nice that it's also coming to Southeast Asia for the very first time this year. So thank you, Set of the Map Working Group and the OSM Foundation, for really making sure that this conference moves to new places. It's very important for the inclusion and diversity of such a global map that we are all celebrating. But it's also nice that the Humanitarian OpenStreetMap team is also celebrating 15 years. It has been a journey. I think OpenStreetMap celebrated 21 years this year. That means it took 6 years of OpenStreetMap for HOT to be introduced as an idea. And it's now 15 years of doing this. So for those of you who don't know how HOT started, I'll try to take you through. So next slide, please. So it all started in 2010. It was January 12th, and a devastating earthquake, 7.0 magnitude hit in Haiti. And of course, the OpenStreetMap community was doing a lot of mapping before then, but then there was this need for data in face of a disaster. So very quickly, volunteers went online and created map data in response to this devastating earthquake. But as you can imagine, things could get chaotic very quickly. So how do you sustain that? So this event really showed the need for the open mapping community to come in and help when the disaster fails. So that's when really HOT started. And in August that same year, HOT was registered as an organization. But then there was need to try and sustain this. On the next slide, please. So one of the key things that was created to help sustain this humanitarian open mapping is what we call the HOT Tasking Manager. So the HOT Tasking Manager was created to try and coordinate, because just imagine hundreds of people from all over the world, they're all trying to map the same place at the same time. You're going to start creating duplicate data, stepping on each other's toes, so there was need for collaboration and coordination. And that's how the HOT Tasking Manager came into force. And you can see it has been revolving. It's now in version 5. So version 1 was all about trying to, you know, create tasks and make sure who has mapped which task. But then it continuously evolved, including things like instructions for the mappers, allowing other people, anyone, anywhere, to create projects and put them on the tasking manager. Very soon, like when we reached like version 3, which we all see now, we had now the ID editor embedded within the tasking manager. Version 4, we have now you can map with AI, rapid, it's embedded in there. Version 5 also has more things coming up. Now they're like dashboards. If you are a person who's creating like a project on a tasking manager, you have a dashboard to try and follow out to the contribution that people are making. But also I think the tasking manager is one of those tools. Very many people are introduced to OpenStreetMap through the HOT Tasking Manager. As we talk now, More than 500,000 people have mapped on OpenStreetMap, but through the Tasking Manager. So it's continuously being used to mobilize more people to contribute to OpenStreetMap. On the next slide, please. So when you look at the HOT journey for the past 15 years, I'll try to break it into three parts. So the first part was 2010 to 2015, and that was really trying to get the idea started and growing it and building this movement of people who are interested in open mapping, but doing it for humanitarian reasons. But then 2015 up to 2020 was really scaling up the work. And it started with in-country projects. I think the first in-country project for HOT was in Asia. It was in Indonesia with a team there doing a lot of mapping for disaster preparedness. Then there was projects in Tanzania, the Ramani Korea project. Then moving on to other countries, Liberia, Uganda. So HOT started really moving away from just being online, going to disaster resilience and making sure there are maps. We don't have to wait for a disaster to happen for maps to be there. It was all about now trying to support communities to make sure that the maps are there before disaster happens. So there have also been lots of collaborations, especially through the Missing Maps collaboration with organizations like the Red Cross, MSF, Youth Mappers. So Missing Maps is a collaboration of different organizations. You can also join and just try to join this movement that tries to make sure open map, missing maps are not a thing. But also a lot of tech advancements. So beyond the Tasking Manager, HOT also started producing lots of tools to help in making data more accessible, just to make sure we are serving the needs of the community. So some of those are the open area map, where you find open available area view image array, even drone data that has been shared openly by people. Also have the export tool. So all of those tools and other tools were being developed during that period from 2015 to 2020. On the next slide. And then comes the audacious era. So this is now from 2020 to 2025. We all know what happened in 2020. The audacious project was just starting, and then COVID came. What really happened was that very many people were stuck home, okay? They couldn't go to work. In Uganda, I think, where I live, the lockdown was one of the longest in all places. We are like stuck home for like 2 years. But what do you do with all that time? You know, you can't go to work. You start mapping. So this actually, COVID came, but also it was one of the biggest responses that HOT has ever had, because so many people went online to map. So with the audacious period, that's also when we introduced the open mapping hubs. So we have 4 open mapping hubs in different regions of the world, also one in the Asia Pacific. But what was the intention here really was to make sure that we shift the power to local communities, making sure that the resources and the tools are accessible by local communities and make sure that they can openly contribute to open mapping. So through these 4 regional hubs, HOT came close at communities, again trying to reach our mission of localization and being a catalyst for our local open mapping communities. On the next slide. So yeah, like I mentioned, when COVID came, very many people joined online and started mapping through HOT. But also this data was being used now to respond to the COVID crisis, trying to map where vulnerable communities are in vaccine delivery, mapping routes that people could take to reach. So a lot of mapping was done in countries like South Sudan, in Nepal, There were so many activations that were happening, but also it was really amazing to see how many people were mapping during that time. The other thing during the Rachel's period that is very important was the support and building local mapping communities and champions. I'm sure in this room we have Open Mapping Guru. If you're an Open Mapping Guru, can you give me a shout out? Do we have any mapping gurus here? Yes. So all of this was happening through our regional hubs. We have programs like She Leads, She Inspires, but also open mapping grants and community grants were being given to communities to do projects that they are initiating themselves, try and respond to local challenges. But still during the audacious era, HOT has also continuously developed tech, like the drone tasking manager. We have now the field mapping tasking manager that is under development. We have initiatives like FAIR. So a lot is going on, and all of these tools are actually open source, meaning that, they are open available, and you can also reuse this code to try and build the ecosystem. On the next slide, please. So, looking at the broader picture, right now where we are in 2025, HOT has some key programs that we are running and that I would love to give you a walkthrough. So on the next slide, please. Yeah, so one of the programs is disaster response. This is really the origin of HOT, and it's not going away. So HOT is continuously doing disaster response projects. As you can see, in all the main disaster events that happen, HOT is always there. Like for example, the Morocco earthquake that happened, the Turkey earthquake. So HOT is always there. We have an activation working group that normally responds to disasters. But I think what's really good to see is how HOT has evolved. Now we have local open mapping communities leading activations. When there was a disaster in Myanmar of recent, the local open mapping community there took lead of leading the activation in terms of mapping. So communities now are not waiting on HOT to lead an activation. They start this on their own, and it's amazing to see how this has evolved from just being at a coordination at the global level to coordination at the local level. Next slide. So the other program that HOT is doing now is conflict and displacement. So yeah, HOT is doing a lot of mapping to make sure that open map data can be used to support humanitarian efforts in complex situations like where there is conflict. So we have been doing mapping in countries like Myanmar, Somalia, Lebanon, in Gaza, in Sudan, working with humanitarian agencies. Because of the security situations, some of these projects are created and they're not publicly accessible on the tasking manager, but there is mobilization of people to make sure that this data is created and it can support the humanitarian efforts in these different countries. Next slide. Yeah, so urban climate, I think, is one of the biggest challenges we have globally now. So at HOT, we also have a program which is specifically trying to make sure that vulnerable communities and city planners have the data that they need to make sure that cities are more resilient through using open map data. So we are now doing projects, for example, in countries like Sierra Leone and Liberia, collaborating with the Know Your City project, producing data that is openly available. This includes like drone imagery, but also using AI tools and making sure that data is openly available in OpenStreetMap that can make cities and other places resilient to the effects of climate change. The other project, on the next slide, please. Yeah, the other program is the Learn and Connect program, which I lead at HOT. We do have a learning center, which is called the HOT Learning Center, where we have different courses on different tools on open mapping. And these courses are available in different languages, in English, in Spanish, in French, but we are continuously trying to reach out to different communities to make sure that these courses are translated in languages that they prefer. So if you find a course on the Hot Learning Center, then you will have to translate it in your language. You can always reach out to us and we can make it available for you and working with you to make it available. The other one is the Open Mapping Guru Network. Like I mentioned, this started out in the Asia Pacific region, but now we are rolling it out globally. This is a project which is trying to make sure we have open mapping champions from different parts of the world, leading mapping efforts and trying to solve local challenges. And also we have the HOT mentorship program. So the mentorship program is trying to have peer-to-peer support. So what we are doing through this is to have experienced mappers working with newbies, beginners, and trying to mentor them in their open mapping journey and trying to help them again think beyond just using the map, but using the map to solve the problems that they face. On the next slide. So looking into the future, we have reached 15 years as the humanitarian open mapping movement, but what does the next maybe 15 years look like? So what you're going to see is what I would love to see happen. You are open to also get your feedback on what you think the humanitarian open mapping movement should focus on in the next 15 years. So on the next slide, we need to sustain local leadership. It's really amazing to see that this year we are having set of the map Latin America, set of the map Africa is happening in November. Yeah, there's no state of the map Asia this year because I think the global state of the map is happening here. There's state of the map Europe is also happening this month. All of these efforts are only able to happen because there is local leadership. Communities that organize these conferences, they need to have like structures. They need to have the capacity to do so. So without local leadership, it's really difficult. And this is needs to happen more. So we need to make sure that we support local groups and try to let them take ownership and responsibility to grow open mapping in their own regions. On the next slide, AI is here. AI is helping us map faster, but we need to use it ethically. HOT has an initiative called FAIR, which is all about AI-assisted mapping tools. And with this tool, you can train a model. I use it to predict data in where you live. I think the problem we have with AI is that if you use a model that's predicted at a global scale, the way buildings look here in the Philippines is very different from the way they look like in Uganda, where I live. So we can't have like a global model to try and predict these features, and that's the purpose of this. But as we use AI also, we don't have to lose the human element. We are still mappers. So how can we make mappers, AI help us to map faster, but without losing the community ethos of OpenStreetMap on which it was built? On the next slide, we need tech that is inclusive and accessible. So we need to make sure that these open mapping tools that we have can be accessible by even people who have, for example, poor internet. Can we think of tools which can be used, which people use on a daily basis and use them for mapping? What if I can use Telegram, which I have on my map, and I'm using it actually to contribute to OpenStreetMap? When I was coming here to the conference from my hotel, I was using Grab. I ordered a Grab taxi. And the driver was asking me, where are you going? I'm going to for a conference. And I was like, what's the conference about? And I told him, it's OpenStreetMap. And I told him, you see that app that you are navigating with? I'm the one who contributed to making that map. And he was really curious. He was like, who pays you to do this work? And I told him, it's actually volunteers. And I told him, you can actually also contribute. And I told him, yeah, the data that actually creating when you are navigating is also used to improve this map. So I was really happy to see the gentleman from Grab showing us how their drivers are helping to make the data available. So we need to make maps, these tools, accessible, but also use tools that people use on a daily basis and use them to make sure that we can make open map data available. On the next slide, most importantly, we need local solutions to local challenges. Without this, OpenStreetMap map will not be important, because what people really care about are the, you know, how can I solve the problem that I have? So we need more innovative solutions to solve the problems and challenges that we have using OpenStreetMap. That's the only way OpenStreetMap will be relevant to someone who is facing a problem of flooding or of climate change. So how can we inspire the community and the ecosystem to come up with solutions that can solve the challenges they have? As I wrap up on the next slide, HOT has really grown from just a group of volunteers to global leader in open mapping. And I want to say thank you for being part of the journey to make sure that HOT can respond to challenges globally. So I'd like to also invite you to be part of the next 15 years of open mapping for humanitarian response and community development. So please continue mapping and also continue being part of the OpenStreetMap community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Geoffrey. So now we're opening the floor for questions for everyone. Attendees, please use the QR code if you are in Venueless or you wish to stay anonymous. Or you can raise your hand and Taiwo will bring you a mic for you to ask your question. Do we have any questions or manifestations if you want?
If you can summarize in one sentence the 15 years of HOT, what would it be?
Okay, that's a very hard one, Anali, but I'll try. In one sentence, how can I summarize the last 15 years of HOT? I think for me, when I started contributing to OpenStreetMap, I was just really excited that I can really trace things and put them on the map. And later on, I think in 2014, when I discovered about HOT, I felt like it had given me, it had empowered me, because I realized with this new knowledge that I had learned of being excited of how to map, I could actually help someone in another country who is facing a disaster. And I think for me, that was very empowering. It enabled me to, because naturally as humans, when someone is having a problem, you want to help. And if a disaster happens in another country, because you're not able to reach there in person, you feel like you are powerless to be able to help. But with digital tools like OpenStreetMap, like open mapping, realize that now we have the ability to reach out and help someone who is facing a disaster in another part of the world. So I think for me, in one sentence, I can say, it is 15 years of HOT empowering communities to help people who are in disaster, facing disaster. Thank you.
We have another question from our Venueless attendees. How is your feeling working in HOT?
Okay, how does it feel to work in HOT? I think for me, it is the community. When I came in here this morning, I was really amazed by how many people knew Geoffrey and that I'd never met. And I think that's the beauty of the OpenStreetMap community, that you get connected to people from all over the world who are just interested in the same thing as you are, which is to contribute to open mapping. So for me, I think, that's why I like being part of this community and this movement, is that it connects you with people from all over the world. And yeah, I'm not going to stop mapping anytime soon.
Thank you. We have another question. Today, where do you want to see more OSM local activity or more local leadership? OSM, okay, so where do you want to see OSM local activity or more local leadership?
Okay, do I want to see more OSM activity or more local leadership? I think it sounds for me like the two are the same. If there is local leadership in OpenStreetMap, it's going to lead to more local activity. Yeah, it's the same thing almost, because where communities thrive is because there is leadership. If there is no leadership, trust me, the community will die. But it all starts with, you know, someone stepping up where you don't see, where you see a gap. When I attended my first State of the Map conference, it was in the US in 2015. And it really opened my eyes because I was like, why is it that we don't have a State of the Map conference for Africa? You know? So I went back and talked to a few other guys and said, let us do a State of the Map Africa. And I've been organizing it every 2 years. But we're only able to do so because where there is a gap and you realize you can step up to fill that gap and take on the leadership, you have to do so. You don't have to wait for anyone to tell you. If there is a gap, step up and join efforts to make this happen. So I think, yeah, I'd love to see more activity, but the activity happens because there is leadership. So yeah, if there isn't anyone filling in that role wherever you are, in your country, in your town, in your city, yeah, take that mantle on and take on the leadership reins.
We have one last question. What is your most memorable moment with helping to start up a new OSM community?
Okay, what is the most memorable moment in helping to start up a new OSM community? I think for me, whenever I meet someone new, I call myself an OSM evangelist. I try to pitch OSM. When I was at the airport coming in here, the immigration officer was asking me, yeah, what brings you to the Philippines? And I was like, I'm coming here to, you know, for a conference about OpenStreetMap. And he made the mistake of asking, what is OpenStreetMap? So I spent like 5 minutes explaining to him what OpenStreetMap is and trying to encourage him, like, you can also actually contribute. Because what people don't realize is that, if something is missing on the map, it's you to add it. So I think when it comes to starting an OSM community, a new OSM community, the first thing is, you know, you can't do it alone, because it can be, you're a volunteer and you are going to burn out if you do everything alone. You want to be the person who does the comms, you do the trainings, you do the validation. You'll do this for only 6 months and then you'll burn out. So the best thing to do when you're starting an OSM community, create a team. Yeah, have someone who can take care of organizing an event, looking for an event space, have someone who's going to lead the trainings. And when you do it as a team, it really maintains the spirit of OpenStreetMap, where you are. It's all about collaboration. Yeah, where I've seen like communities grow and then fail, it's because someone created the community and then they take it just as a personal thing. Yeah, when they get tired, the community dies. But when you have a team, even if you are like, yeah, I've volunteered for 5 years, now I need to step down, another person is going to take over. So the best thing to do when growing an OSM community is to have a team that you can work with to keep things going. And don't give up. Always try to create opportunities and make sure that your community is also kind of visible to the rest of the world. So make noise on social media, you know, share about your work. When you get an opportunity to speak at a conference, share about your OpenStreetMap community's work, and what will reach more people, and the more people that come in to contribute, the better.
Kyla, There's one more question here. Okay, so.
Hi. So what's your outlook for the next 5, 10, 15 years for HOT specifically?
Come again, sorry?
What's your outlook for the upcoming 5 to 15 years?
Yeah, I think for me, what I see is to have like HOT, something like HOT, but in every country. Like what I mentioned is that we need local leadership in terms of humanitarian mapping. So if there is a disaster in Uganda where I live, I don't have to first wait for HOT to do an activation to respond to that disaster. There should be, for example, there has been a disaster in Cebu here, but what if there is a local OpenStreetMap community in Cebu that is actually responding in terms of mapping and working with the local agencies there to respond to the disaster? So for me, what I want to see for the next 15 years is to see local OpenStreetMap communities taking leadership in terms of contributing to humanitarian open mapping and not waiting for, you know, a savior from very many miles away. So how can we make sure we have local groups leading in efforts in terms of open mapping? It's what I want to see, more active and sustainable local OSM groups in each and every country.
Thank you. So the final final note from from the venue list, it's not a question, but it's a request. So if we could point the mic at the audience and let them applaud how awesome Geoffrey is as an OSM community member. All right, thank you again, Geoffrey. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this part of the program.